This is Iris Illustrated Insider. I'm Tim Priester with Tim O'Malley. Pete Sampson from The Athletic joins us. It's Thursday, November 8th, previewing Notre Dame versus Georgia Tech. It's senior day this weekend, and it sounds like Notre Dame is as healthy as they have been. The flu bug is still impacting the team this week. A bunch of missed practices on Tuesday, but most of those guys, it sounded like in talking to Brian Kelly, that they were back on Wednesday. Guys, your thoughts, just general thoughts on Notre Dame versus Georgia Tech this weekend.
I think we're in, because of Brennan Armstrong's absence last week, week three of four, that it's about Notre Dame. This is the part of the schedule that's about Notre Dame. The way they've been playing since Virginia Tech is they can't lose to these four teams if they regress and have catastrophic mistakes, multiple. They had a catastrophic mistake last year against Georgia Tech with a fumble recovery touchdown going the other way, and it still wasn't that big of a deal, but that's what kept it closer. I fully expect Notre Dame to handle Georgia Tech. I love Jahmyr Gibbs' game, which he grad transferred to Notre Dame at some point. He's a good runner too. And then I don't know what's wrong with Sims. I mean, pre-injury, I thought Jeff Sims would kind of be a little bit of a breakout player this year. I think now he's just still a dangerous player, and that's not something Notre Dame is. He's a really good runner. Notre Dame's seen plenty of really good runners, and he's just – Jeff Sims and their weapons together don't make for a passing game that should threaten Notre Dame.
I mean, when Brian Kelly called Jeff Sims a game wrecker, I was like, I don't know what – has he wrecked any games?
He's a good runner, yeah.
He's an all-potential quarterback. Like, he could be really good, but right now he's not, and he's not healthy. So it's – you know, I hesitate to be like, this is a game there's no way I could see Notre Dame losing, but I really, really have a difficult time seeing a path for Georgia Tech to win this game. You know, when their season is already over, they have Georgia next week. It's going to be 42 degrees. I just don't see it. So it's pretty much, if you can handle Jahmyr Gibbs, get a beat on him, which Notre Dame should be able to do, I think that they will be fine.
I don't think Brian Kelly uses game wrecker in over amount of times. I thought it was an exaggeration this time. Although, I mean, I get it from the standpoint that he's an outstanding athlete. We know that, but he was so bad against Miami that they were ready to turn away from him. And then he had the injury. Jordan Yates is the other quarterback, and he's certainly capable. He can run, and Brian Kelly said it, not as explosive, but a capable runner. Really bad when rolling to his right or left. That much has been noticeable on film. But, you know, I agree with you, Tim, that, you know, it can't be anything catastrophic, like three turnovers in the first half against Cincinnati, or Jahmyr Gibbs had a 98-yard kick return last week. He's capable of doing that. Pete, I'm not as confident that they can control him because he is that dangerous. He had five straight games of at least one 50-yard plus play in a role that ended against Boston College last week, and all he did was rush for, I don't know, like 96 or 98 yards. So he's great, but I would agree that he is the one guy that can – he's a game wrecker. Jahmyr Gibbs is a game wrecker before you would say that about Jeff Sims, right? Yeah, I mean, he is that good. There will be two great running backs starting on Saturday with Logan Diggs maybe – you know, transitioning or moving in that direction.
The thing about when you say you can't see them lose, Pete, I tend to agree with you, because you don't want to go out and predict, well, a full field interception return touchdown, a Gibbs kick return touchdown, and Jack Cohn fumbling. I mean, these are all things where you say Jack Cohn fumbling the ball away at the 20-yard line back in the Cincinnati days or the Toledo days, I'd be like, yeah, that's probably going to happen. He's probably going to get blindsided by this offensive line. But now it would just be that flukish nature of things. And they are giving up rushing yardage these last five or six games. Everyone gets to 175 against Georgia Tech. And the way Kyren Williams is running angrily and the way the line is getting a push. I know that Williams has so many yards after contact that people can say maybe it's not the line, it's Kyren. He's getting the yards after contact because he's getting a little bit of room first. And that is the big difference, I think, from earlier in the year where he was getting the ball and having to stop start.
Yeah, I think...
I mean, it's one of those games where you have to have like multiple catastrophic errors to, you know, in the same, like Cincinnati, if that doesn't happen, which we would never predict, like, I think Notre Dame will be fine.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand where Notre Dame's been on the, you know, they're on the road at night last week, and maybe Notre Dame isn't their sharpest. We always mention senior day, although they've been doing pretty well on senior day, but there are some emotions mixed in there. There's so many seniors that will be announced on Saturday that they won't do it like individually where a guy runs out and then they wait for the applause and to meet the parents. There's too many. They have to speed up the process, which they will do. But, Georgia Tech, when I look at their defense, I think their defensive line is better than Virginia's. I think their secondary has more players back there. But the problem with Georgia Tech is that they just haven't put it together and they keep losing close games. They've lost five of their seven losses have been by single digits.
They played people hammered well,
by Pittsburgh. Just... Yeah. Well, and that's, but that you can say that about the 2016 Notre Dame team, right? They played, they came close, but there's a reason why you're 3-7. It's because you can't close.
Like the best team they've played recently, because Clemson was in September. Clemson was a mess. I mean, Clemson's a little better now than they were in September. Yeah. That 14-8 loss, I don't think that score would be indicative of if these two teams even played again, Tech and Clemson. I guess they took Virginia to 48-40, but I don't know what that means. It just means they can score on Virginia's terrible defense and can get beat by Brennan Armstrong like everybody else does. I don't put much stock in the Miami game. I think they probably would have beaten Boston College without Dracovic, right? Speaking of senior day, it could be Dracovic's senior day at Notre Dame, and it's going to be Derek Allen senior day at Notre Dame coming back
Dracovic. Dracovic looks good, man. He looks good. He looks really good. But Georgia Tech, like they've defeated Duke, Kennesaw State, and they scored 45 against North Carolina and beat them. But we know that North Carolina's defense. You guys say it. I won't say it this week.
Well, yeah, it's as bad as Tim Priester wants atrocious. To say this. I've noticed their safety play is subpar. But they also had 8 sacks against North Carolina, and Georgia Tech has, I think, 16 sacks this year. That tells you a little bit of what Sam Howell's been up against this year as well.
Right, yeah.
I'm going to get on the Sam Howell bandwagon again on the podcast.
Exactly. So, so that's where we stand. And we don't have a bunch of questions on Georgia Tech, so we're not going to pound the narrative here. It is what it is. But I do want to talk about, Pete, you asked about, and we've been getting a lot of questions about, you guys said that you didn't think that Jeff Quinn and Dell Alexander would be back next year. And so, Pete, you asked today, to get to elicit some response from Brian Kelly about what Jeff Quinn has done well. And, I'm a big believer that when things go wrong and you point the finger and things go right, you better compliment a guy. And the offensive line has played better. I do kind of object to, I think there's a narrative out there that, the offensive line isn't doing very well. It's all Kyren Williams and Logan Diggs. Well, yeah, those are two great running backs. But early in the season, they did not have the time to stand and pick and choose as to where they wanted to go. And that offensive line is definitely getting a push now. So I think it's a combination. Certainly Kyren Williams is great. Logan Diggs is trending in that direction. But the offensive line has played better under Jeff Quinn. There's no doubt about that.
And, it's like I wanted to phrase the question. It's like, because every time every positive offensive story that we've written or talk about is usually phrased in like, well, Reese is calling a really good game, or Jack Cohen's not holding on to the ball, or the coaching staff figured out what their strengths are, or they got these young receivers who are coming along. It's never the offensive line coach doing a good job.
That's why I brought up Chris. That's why I brought up Chris O'Leary on Monday. I mean, look what the young safeties has done, and Chris O'Leary's name has not been mentioned at any point during this season. So we kind of pick and choose when we want to mention, an assistant coach, both positively and negatively.
I mean, it's like the first 5 games of the year, Notre Dame allowed 46 tackles for loss and 22 sacks. In the last 5 games, they've allowed 18 tackles for loss and 6 sacks. So there's no way that improvement is just down to one player or one position or one coach. So Jeff Quinn has to get some credit for that. Do I think he's the next Terry Heistand? No, but like he's doing a good job in the second half of the season and has helped sort of get Notre Dame's offense on a good track. So, to me, it's if you combine the way the season is ending with Quinn and the offensive line, the future that's in front of them with a lot of young players, returning, some have played, some have not. And combined with the recruiting, if, you know, with Emil Wagner committed recently and Billy Shrouth still feels good about Notre Dame moving forward, there's just not an argument to me that you would make a change in that position. So I don't think Brian Kelly will, nor do I think Brian Kelly would want to, even if things were kind of a little bit scattershot.
Yeah. There were some tough questions being asked early in the season within the organization regarding the offensive line.
So it's like when Brian Kelly says like there was no criticism of the line internally or no, like that's. Yeah,
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah. There was buying that.
Yeah, but there was a lot of responsibility to bear across the board. But as it appears now, I really think a lot of the people that want the coaching change along the offensive line are the ones that say, well, the O-line's not doing very well. It's all, it's all the Kyron Williams. And I understand that. But as it appears now, with the way the offensive line is playing, with the youth of the offensive line in a couple spots, and with the recruiting that's going on there, it does not look like a change is going to be made along the offensive line.
No, and I'm glad Pete mentioned there's multiple factors, because I think it's – and not just one lineman, like we like to talk about the future pro Joe Alt, who is awesome. But it's five linemen, because even Jarrett Patterson's gotten better because he doesn't have to do someone else's job. Kane Madden and Josh Lugg have gotten much better. Kane Madden has gotten
a huge
improvement, and people don't want to look at it. They still want to start a freshman. Kristofic has been the most pleasant of all surprises, because I think he's the one guy – even maybe over Joe Alt, if you had this conversation where you said, who's going to be the solidifying force in this Notre Dame line? And Kristofic would be the one of the last guys you'd pick, right? I mean, we did not have him in our radars coming
up.
No,
I didn't.
Whereas at least
people
told Pete and you, Tim, that Joe Alt was a great prospect. At least we had that to go on, not for this year. But
and if you,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I mean, I was just going to say, if you read the story that we had on Irish Illustrated earlier this week, and the relationship with the dad, and you know the background of the dad. When you get done reading that, or interviewing two people for that, it's like, okay, well, that explains a lot as to why this guy is so ahead of the game at left tackle.
We do have to say one thing though, and this has nothing to do with Jeff Quinn, but it's another reason to go with the push of the offensive line. Jeff Quinn doing a good job. Kyron Williams, Pete, you mentioned tackles for loss and how they're not getting many tackles for loss. 92, 115, 116, 124, and 125. That's what the last five opponents rank in tackles for loss.
Yeah.
So they don't tackle anybody for loss. I mean, Wisconsin and Cincinnati have really good defenses, and Purdue's is fine, and Florida State was the first game, and they had a good defensive line that day.
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying, and I it's totally valid. I would also look at the Toledo game and say, like, that wasn't a great defense, and they made Notre Dame's offensive line look completely ridiculous.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
It's still 11 tackles for loss and six sacks.
It's still a highly ranked. It still is. They're a 500 team, but it's still a highly ranked defense. Yeah, no, but it's still I'm just saying it's still a highly, highly ranked defense in the MAC.
And it was the second game of the year.
It was the second game of the year, and the Notre Dame's offensive line wasn't even. They weren't even close to where they are now.
Yeah, I guess my point is here, like, if you can't improve over what you just said, Pete, about Toledo, then what's the point? Like, that is as low as it could possibly be, that you could play that poorly on your offensive line. And so if that's your barometer saying, well, look how much they've improved, yes, they have, but how was it ever there? How was it there that they could not possibly move the ball against Toledo?
Notre Dame never should have an offensive line. Notre Dame should never have a month of offensive line play like it had in September.
Right. So
never.
Now I think they're pretty good. It's just we're going to find out in the bowl game what kind of push they can get, because they won't have seen anything
for sure.
And then just to put a bow on this, as it relates to Dell Alexander and the future wide receiver, we'll see. That's a completely different situation, because Brian Kelly doesn't have the allegiance to him that he has, you know, with Jeff Quinn. So now the freshman receivers, they're stepping forward. There's no doubt about that. Out of necessity a little bit, obviously, with the injuries that have occurred there, but we'll see what happens there. Segment two coming up, burning up the boards.
Looking for a gift for the Notre Dame fan on your holiday shopping list? Help them commemorate their first Notre Dame game or loyalty to the Fighting Irish with a Notre Dame Football Heritage Project certificate. Your donation, $5 minimum, will help the Ara Parsegian Medical Research Fund and the Notre Dame Gallivan Journalism Program. Visit ndcertificate.com to learn more.
Segment two, burning up the boards. Question from Wreckers 33 Hot. How many seniors do you see playing their final game in Notre Dame Stadium this weekend? In particular, your thoughts on, and we have a long list of guys as to whether they'll be back or not. We're each going to say yes, no, or maybe, starting with Jarrett Patterson.
I guess yes.
No means he's returning.
Oh no, yes means he's returning. No, yes, means he's not. Sorry. Maybe.
I guess he's returning.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident that it's a yes at this stage. Something could happen, but I'm pretty confident that ultimately he's going to choose to stay at Notre Dame. I said more than yes. Kevin Austin Jr.
Yes. I think this will be his last game at Notre Dame.
I think he will be talked into coming back.
I would figure that he would be coming back. Why do you think it's his last? Is he grad transferring?
I think he's going to take a shot going pro.
He's an idiot if he does that. That's a ridiculous decision. That is a ridiculous decision.
What really quick interjection, foot injury history. He might not want another broken foot in college. I would okay. go. There's, right. a, there's a logical. There's one part. There's one. I mean, that's an argument to be made. Like Josh Adams couldn't come back. Remember, there was no way he could come back with a knee. So that was my guess. That's the only reason I would decide.
Let me correct by saying I think that's an idiotic decision. I'm not saying Kevin Austin is an idiot. I just don't understand. I mean, the foot injury. Okay, certainly that's valid, but he is not ready to play in the NFL. That's a silly decision. Braden Lindsey?
I don't know.
Yeah, I would say maybe.
I'm going to say maybe. If I have to lean one way, I'll say yeah, because there's nowhere else to go other than grad transfer. They're not fully stocked at wide receiver next year. No, I mean, they can promise a lot to him.
I mean, it depends where his head is on all of this. You know, because originally his idea was not coming back next year. So I would say maybe. Joe Wilkins Jr., I'm not sure because, I mean, they're going to be tight on scholarships. I'm not sure that Notre Dame can necessarily allow him to come back.
I mean, it's probably a numbers game, right? And I would stick with I don't know, but the I don't know might have more to do with like Notre Dame's roster than it does Wilkins, what he wants to do.
I'm going to learn from past thoughts and say Notre Dame will have absolutely plenty of room by the time we hit August, and so that makes Joe Wilkins back.
That could be, and it's not a full house in that wide receiver room. Avery Davis.
Hope he's back. I'm not sure where he would go just because he's, you know, injured. And definitely, as Brian Kelly said, like, we want him back quite clearly. Yeah. Brian Kelly doesn't sort of say that just off the cuff.
I'm with Pete. Once Brian Kelly said it, we have another one of those coming up too. Yeah, he said it, so there's no – it's tough with the injury.
Yeah, I would say that's a maybe to yes. Yep. George Takacs, that isn't somebody that we've considered much.
I asked George Takacs this when he came in for media, and he's like, honestly, I don't know, but he wants to play football somewhere next year. It might be at Notre Dame, might not, but that's I don't think he knows where he's going to be.
Yeah, the Adam Alola twins,
Jason not back, Justin back.
I would agree.
I would agree with that as well. Isaiah Foskey.
Positive vibes only. Positive vibes only. Okay. I'll say yes to offset Pete. Positive vibes only.
I would say maybe to yes.
I think it's fair.
Bo Bauer.
I talked to Bo Bauer about this he did not seem like he was coming back in September. That was a September interview. He started a game and played awfully well. He talked about his last year at Notre Dame. Talked about passing up doing a master's of science degree so he could concentrate on football for his last year at Notre Dame. He was focused on this being a football year. Then he went out and had a great game. Maybe he likes to see if he can start at middle linebacker. And the people that will say, why wouldn't he come back and start a middle linebacker? Because he's also going to find out he will not be a high draft pick next year, no matter what. So this year you can go pro and be a special teams guy right away.
Yeah, I would say maybe on that. Tariq Bracey.
Yes.
He's back, right?
Yes, I would think so. I mean, that's in everybody's best interest. Houston Griffith?
Not back.
I'd say not back.
I would say no. And that's the end of our list. And I want to apologize. I should never say that about a player with Kevin Austin. I think that's a poor decision on his part. Moving on to Statman 72. Would it be premature for Kyle Hamilton and Kyron Williams to treat Saturday as their senior day? Would Notre Dame / Brian Kelly allow it if the players wanted to do that? I asked this question Pete, you were going to ask the question. You guys go ahead and let everybody know what Brian Kelly's response to that was.
I mean, he said that Brian Kelly said that the senior day honoring goes to people who are graduating or on track to graduate. That's, you know, not Kyle Hamilton or Kyron Williams right now. So that they would be eliminated from that. And I am totally cool with that. Usually I'm sort of like, hey, get with the times, Notre Dame, but I like this one not getting, I like this one just sort of as is. Senior day is, if you're going to be the graduating champions school, you graduating is the first part of that. So that's that you got to start with that.
Yep. And it's worth noting that Jack Lamb and Micah Jones were honored last year because they had graduated as early enrollees that took accelerated programs and graduated, and they deserve to be honored as well. So yeah, and they were, you know, weren't coming back.
And I asked Brian Kelly if that would be, you know, if you can't celebrate them because it wouldn't be the spirit, you know, within the spirit of senior day. And he agreed with that. And graduate, as you said, Pete, I mean, graduating champions, that's it's more than just a phrase. It should be. And it is more than just a phrase.
Next question. I don't understand. Ever to excel. Explain to me why Jeff Collins was a national media darling despite mediocre results through his career. I had no idea he was a media darling.
I had no idea he was a media darling. Did you?
What media?
Yeah, I don't. I didn't think that that him being named the Georgia Tech head coach was met with a lot of fanfare. He had some success. He won 15 games in 2 years at Temple, but that was less than his predecessor. I don't think he's done an awful job because they still they've got 96 guys on their roster that are eligibility wise that are freshmen and sophomores. They're not going to fire him.
No.
Because they are trending up. The losses haven't changed, but they are trending up in terms of competitiveness. And they do have athletes. I think he's done a pretty good job of recruiting. And you got Jahmyr Gibbs. Right? Maybe that process was started prior. No, he would have recruited.
No, he wouldn't have.
Yeah, that would have been him. So, no, I don't remember him being a media darling. He's not doing a great job, but I don't think he's doing an awful job. I think on Monday we had talked about Georgia Tech like they were just god awful. We were basing it upon record. You watch them on film; they've got players. They're just, again, the sum of the parts isn't as great as some of the individual talent that you see flashed on a weekly basis, really.
Also, he's never won two in a row at Georgia Tech, so that'll hurt you as time goes on.
Yeah.
He's not going to win two in a row at Georgia Tech this year either, I have decided by looking at their schedule.
certainly not their last two.
He's coming off back-to-back losses, which I think, is that the first time they lost back? They've lost four in a row. So they definitely have not learned how to win, but they will be patient with Jeff Collins. BWAC 29. The coaching carousel is in full spin. Who from Notre Dame's coaching staff, if anyone, should we be most concerned about leaving for greener pastures?
I mean, Notre Dame's defense coordinator is going to be a pretty hot commodity, as he was last year when Notre Dame hired him. So I sort of look at what happens next with Marcus Freeman as being less about the jobs that are open now and more about the jobs that become open when the jobs that are open now are filled. So, you know, is Marcus Freeman going to get like the Washington job or the Miami job if and when that opens? Probably not. Would he get those jobs if Jeff Brohm left Purdue for a new job? Would he get those jobs if Luke Fickell left Cincinnati for a new job? Yeah. Pretty sure that would be a good match for him.
Or could he get, and that's a good point, because it's going to be a domino effect, certainly. But I'm looking at a list here. Could he get Virginia Tech? Could he get TCU? Could he get Washington State? And then you have the Akron, UMass, Florida International that I don't think that he would go for.
He wouldn't go for those. That's not, yeah.
Virginia Tech, TCU, Washington State. Would he go for those? I mean, that's Power Five, man. And it's not awful.
Virginia Tech, maybe. Washington State, I would say no.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Maybe so. Yeah. Now the question is, you know, not just Freeman. Does Elston get an offer at this stage of his career? We know that Brian Polian wants to be a head coach again. His would probably have to be the Akrons, the UMasses, and the Florida Internationals.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, and those are, that's kind of more of a personal choice, right? Like if you really, really want to be a head coach, you want to be one so badly that you're going to potentially take a pay cut and go to a place that's really, really difficult to win. But I mean, Akron is one to keep an eye on. And if Bowling Green opens up again, they both, Elston and Pulliam, were candidates there last time. Yeah. That would be also another one to keep an eye on.
Washington D, are any of you concerned that Notre Dame could come out flat against 3-7 Georgia Tech on Senior Day and be in a much closer game than expected, especially, let's say, if Sims is back from injury?
I certainly Notre Dame can come out flat. I, as a former coach, I think that can happen anytime. And, you know, they're coming off the flu. Senior Day, they're still emotion. Just because Notre Dame has played well on Senior Day doesn't mean that there aren't emotions involved and that they could, you know, come out a little bit flat. But I don't know, to the point where they don't win the football game, I'm not seeing that right now.
You know, they've come out flat for a quarter on Senior Day. Yeah, they came out flat for Senior Day, right, against Syracuse and Boston College, and they beat Boston College by 50 or by 40. But
yeah, that's true.
They had a field goal against Boston College, I think, only in the first quarter, and then they couldn't stop scoring. So yeah, I the first quarter, I don't know if you want to take a shot, bet Georgia Tech +7 the first quarter. But
Notre Dame was losing at the end of the first quarter to Navy.
Yeah, the first quarter is they have, if you don't score on your first drive, you come out kind of flat, right? It's just the way the world goes. But I do not believe it can last a game against Georgia Tech.
No.
Yeah, I don't see that. You know, and a lot of it has to do with what we saw last week, that, you know, here in Notre Dame, they have injuries, they have the flu, and you have these young guys stepping up. And a lot of the young guys that have stepped up now are ready to, you know, Deion Colsey's going to get that touchdown before Logan Diggs gets 100 yards. Was that Monday's question? Or that was
He only needed one more carry in that game, Logan Diggs. One more around the end.
That's true.
Was happening right there.
That's true. And considering the last two opponents, I'm still holding out for Deion Colsey. look for me to be gazing in your direction if that,
yes,
that happens, and vice versa, I'm sure.
As soon as Diggs rips off a 64-yarder, I'm standing up at that point. So, Nick 2014, are there more future pros on Notre Dame's second and third string defensive line than its current starting back seven? That's a fun question. yes, wouldn't bode well if they're in the playoffs.
Probably. Current starting, wait a minute. Yeah,
you gotta get rid of some future pros here, though. Like, there's no MTA, no Foskey, no Jason A, and no Heinisch. So,
Eddie
Riley Mills
will be a future pro.
Yeah,
Justin Amiola can play in the pros.
I'm not gonna say Riley Mills will be a future pro. I think he has the ability to be a future pro. I think Justin Amiola has the ability to be on an NFL roster after playing full time next year.
Me too. But we just knocked out four future pros of the starting line, so it does make it tougher. All right, back seven. Cam Hart could be a future pro.
Could be.
You know, measurables, and look how much he's progressed since shifting over, right? If you want to look at it that way. Bracey and Lewis would have challenged to be future pros. All the linebackers would be challenged to be future pros.
Yeah, point taken, though. I mean, you know, they are more than likely about to finish 11-1 and go to a major bowl with not a lot of professional talent on the back end, especially without, you know, Kyle Hamilton for half a season. Murphy 324, where will the balance? I thought this was an interesting question. Where will the balance be struck between recruiting high school talent and marketing Notre Dame football to the experienced contributors in the portal? Do you see any prospect of a Notre Dame mini combine where as many as a dozen portal players are interviewed and worked out over a long weekend prior to spring practice? I'm not sure is there any legality that would prevent something like that from happening?
Graduate transfers can be different than portal.
Yeah.
Than regular
portal. Brian Kelly was asked about this week or last and is like, look, the portal doesn't really change a whole lot for us. We're looking at grad transfers because you've graduated. That means you can get into school. The regular transfers, as has always been the case, is incredibly complicated for Notre Dame. And that's why they're not going to go down that path. But grad transfers, I think that's always going to be available. But like the mini combine, like how about 3 or 4 years of game tape? Like that should be enough. So I don't think that you're going to evaluate them quite so thoroughly.
Yeah. I don't think that they would do anything like that. Might they bring in a couple players at the same time? I mean, I'm not even sure whether or not they've done that. They may have already done that in the past. An actual combine, again, I don't know the legality of that. Just the logistics of that, I don't think it would come to that. But yeah, I mean, the point being that don't expect Notre Dame to be reaching out and grabbing a lot of freshmen and sophomores in the portal. It is still going to almost exclusively grad transfer situations. Starting with, you know, the academics of it.
That brings us to a writing question. That's a tangent here, guys, from Tim O'Malley. Let's name the portal positions needed by position. I'll start. Quarterback. Do you think they'll bring in a portal player?
No.
I don't think so, no.
I don't either. I'm obviously not running back. Wide receiver?
No.
Maybe.
Clearly not tight end. Offensive line?
No, nope. Not now.
Yeah, not now either. Defensive line in any way?
No.
Agreed.
Maybe. Maybe they could. They could use an
interior,
end.
Interior, you think?
They could use an end. Couldn't they?
Yeah, no, they definitely could. If Foskey leaves, then it opens the door to needing an end. Right. Yeah,
linebacker definitely.
So yeah, maybe an end. Linebacker now. There's a lot of guys. Yeah, wow. Holy smokes, that freshman class too.
Can you imagine the reaction of the freshman, the incoming freshman linebackers, if Notre Dame brought in a transfer,
grad transfer from Northwestern to play some, make a couple tackles.
Yeah.
So corner.
Yes, if you could swing it.
Yeah, I would say yes and safety.
With the numbers, you still have to because the numbers aren't proven below the three guys that'll be back. And then safety, absolutely everybody answers yes here, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Safety one, corner two, everything else I think I would probably pass on if I was number him.
Yeah, good.
So wide receiver, you're just saying the skill level of the receiver will not outweigh the fact that you could have Lindsey Wilkins, up-and-coming players.
Wilkins, Davis, among the four seniors – the two of them are back. Right.
Okay.
Then fine. You can roll with that. I've always felt like, you know, a portal is a real indication that a portal take, like something went wrong in your recruiting in the past. And I know the staff really likes Jaden Thomas a lot. Combined with obviously the like Colesian Styles. I think CJ Williams is somebody who can be like a sixth, seventh receiver as a freshman. I think Tobias Merriweather, Amar and Walker are much farther away, but I think that they'll be, because if they have two seniors back next year at receiver, they'll be fine.
I could see CJ Williams making an early impact. I think he's that kind of player.
Mm-hmm. I just think the floor for him is he's strong enough to be on the field right away.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of Jaden Thomas, did you see when he first got on the field Saturday?
In the first quarter?
The last drive of the second quarter, which...
I feel like he was out there before then.
Okay, maybe he... Okay, I apologize. Yeah. Maybe he was. But, like, the controversy over them not trying to be more aggressive with him with a minute 16 at the end of the second half, they had Salerno out there, they had Colesy out there, and they had Jaden Thomas out there. So that was the tip-off that they probably weren't... going to push the ball down the field 85 yards with that inexperienced group out there. Question from MJ Spanky. Can the program appeal the Doak Walker nominations? Kyren Williams not being one of the top 10 is a crime against college football.
It's ridiculous. Of course it is completely ridiculous. It's people looking at stats that vote and not watching Kyren Williams run the football and catch the football and block for people that have footballs. And probably tackle football players if he had to.
Well, where do you draw the line? I mean, where
after Kyren Williams is a top 10 Doak Campbell running back right now.
I would agree that he is that kind of talent. But when he's not in the top 100 in yards per carry, and when every other guy ahead of him is among the top 10 in the nation in rushing, I mean, I think it's.
But compiling yards is one of the worst ways to evaluate a player, and receiving yards and stuff like that.
So who do you exclude?
Not Robinson. I mean, Walker, he gets to stay.
I realize my opinion is not going to be received well. I'm just saying, man, I mean, the numbers are so overwhelmingly better than his that so my question is, who do you take out of that group? Now, I guess you should take out the guy from Texas San Antonio. Look, it's easy for us to just say it's a crime against college football. And I agree. He is definitely one of the 10 best running backs in the country. But
he's definitely one of the 10 best. Take somebody out.
Yeah.
We got it. Okay.
This is an award for the 10 best running backs.
Okay.
Yeah, he's the most valuable player of the fifth best team of the sixth best team in the country.
Right. And if Alabama loses to Georgia with two losses, they should be in the playoffs because they're one of the best four teams in the country, right?
But Tyron Lewis is the MVP of one of the six best teams in the country.
I don't disagree. Tim, look, I'm playing devil's advocate here. I'm just saying I don't disagree. Of course, he's amazing, and we all know that, and the country knows that. There is a committee that picks this, and I'm sure they don't watch as much film as the College Football Playoff Committee in making this decision. But I mean, I'm just saying there are some guys that you're not taking Travion Henderson off the list.
Nope, he's on the list.
You're not taking Robinson off the list. Walker off the list.
He's tremendous. And I know that Kyren Williams is one of the 10 best in the country. I'm just saying when we express opinions like this, we really aren't looking at the competition to be included among the top 10. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
Maybe it's certainly not as bad as 2014 when the Biletnikoff Award came out midseason, the watch list. And Will Fuller, who led the nation in touchdowns, was not one of the 70 players on it.
Yeah, that was much worse.
I mean, they were looking at stats then. They didn't see his 8 touchdowns at that point.
No, I hear you. I'm gonna get hammered on a couple different fronts here after this podcast.
I feel like Kyren Williams is in a different category than like Michael Mayer. When you say who is your vote for first team All-American? I mean, what about Bowers? What about Mayer? What about, I'm not a Charlie Kolar guy, but you know, like Kyren Williams is clearly the reason Notre Dame is involved in anything this year. Is kind of how I look at that from covering Kyren Williams too. And I know all these people don't cover Kyren Williams. Like right. Kenneth Walker right. is why Michigan State is in position to upset Ohio State to try to make the playoffs.
Yeah, look, Kenneth Walker is winning the Doak Walker Award, which is great. Like, if Kyren Williams won the Doak Walker Award, I would be like, that's ridiculous.
Kenneth Walker should win it, right, because he had 12.
But he should be one of the top – he should really be one of the 10 semifinalists for it.
I agree. But so he's on the list, and then there's no way he can win. So what do we –
True. He would not win. He would not – he absolutely would not win it.
I
have an All-American vote, and I would definitely vote Kenneth. If I could only pick one running back, Kenneth Walker.
Okay, all right, I have a question for you. I have a question for both you guys. Is Jahmyr Gibbs one of the 10 best running backs in the country? I bet he is.
He could be.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. He's a great receiver, too, like Kyren Williams out of the back. I mean, he's their best receiver, Jahmyr Gibbs.
He is, yeah. And Kyren's, I'm going to move on to the next question before. It's too late.
This one's even harder. It's too late. Coming up.
It's too late for me. I'm already going to get torched for this podcast. All right. Last question before we go to predictions. And it's from Subfan. And it's your guess on who the final four teams are in the playoffs.
We all have one. Georgia.
Yes. I think it will be I'm not ordering them. I'm just telling you the four that I think will make it. Georgia, Ohio State, Cincinnati,
that's where it gets tough now, because if it's Ohio State, then Michigan State have lost. I think Cincinnati, I think Cincinnati is going to go undefeated.
I don't think they are.
Okay. SMU, you think SMU is going to beat them?
Yeah.
Or Houston. Okay.
Houston's a tough one.
I'll stand by Cincinnati going undefeated. I think those are definitely my three. The fourth one, it's difficult.
Oklahoma State is not
unreasonable.
questionable.
They're playing really well. That would be one of my first choices. They're good on defense. Yeah.
So let's look at this. Yeah. I took too much time. I was sitting around my breakfast table this morning looking at some stats, and I took way too much time to do this. So Ohio State is one of my four, remarkably, because Ohio State has to beat contender Michigan State, contender Michigan, and the hottest team in America that has a couple losses, Wisconsin. That is a hard road to the playoffs, while someone like Notre Dame has Georgia Tech, Stanford in a bye week.
I hear you.
Georgia's in, because even if they lose to Alabama, they're in. I feel like Cincinnati has a game they probably shouldn't lose, a game they should not lose on the road, and a game that I don't know that point spread's going to be very high, the Houston matchup. I feel like Cincinnati is going to lose one of those three games.
We all think Oregon's going to lose.
I think Oregon's going to lose one of the two games with Utah. Michigan, of course, has to beat Ohio State and Wisconsin again. Michigan State is a pick'em versus Penn State next week, by the way. So Michigan State has to beat Ohio State as a 19-point underdog, a pick'em, and Wisconsin. That's a hard road.
I think
the Final Four is going to be Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama, and either Notre Dame or Oklahoma State.
No consideration for Michigan. Well, they have to win at Ohio
Michigan's
State.
Michigan's got to beat, and they got to rematch and beat Wisconsin again. It's just a hard, Notre Dame has nothing to do.
What do you mean?
Notre Dame has nothing to do but just move, but let teams lose around them.
And right. They just need help only. They cannot help themselves.
Yeah, that was the point of my.
I mean, Notre Dame has to win two games, but these guys have to beat good teams, right? Notre Dame's the only one that doesn't have to beat a single good team the rest of the way. Because Houston's tougher to beat than in a championship setting than Stanford and Georgia Tech. Or Cincinnati. Yes. That's a hard game for them to go win. Cincinnati,
I think,
with everything on the
line. If Notre Dame had three regular season games remaining against Georgia Tech, Stanford, and Houston, Houston would be the toughest. SMU would be the toughest game to win. All right, that's where we are. I don't think Michigan can win at Ohio State. But I think the game is
at Michigan.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Michigan. It's six and a half, by the way, only. Six and a half.
Well, I think they have a shot.
I need to log on to another site right now.
I think they have a shot. I don't think they'll win, but I think they have a shot.
I don't know who the fourth team will be. I'm down to like Cincinnati, Notre Dame. I take back Oklahoma State. They could lose to Texas Tech on the road right now. And they have Oklahoma. And they have a rematch. No. Okay, I take Oklahoma State out. Notre Dame is the fourth team. Everybody has a million possible losses except for Notre Dame. Cincinnati, I guess, only has one.
That's a good point. All right, so now that I said Michigan has a chance against Ohio State, I have three reasons to be despised after this podcast. So let's move on to predictions, you guys. You guys go ahead and I'll shut up.
I like Notre Dame by a lot. Something in the 38-17 range. So a cover 21-point win, a game that we will spend very little time talking about after the fact and probably a year from now forget even happened. So Notre Dame 38, Georgia Tech 17.
I mean, the exact same score.
Yes, I beat you to it.
Jahmyr Gibbs, touchdown rushing and receiving.
Over under, O'Malley is 64.
Under. I'm going under.
Yeah. Is it 64?
I think it's 60, 59.5, 60.
Okay. I'm going to be in that ballpark again with you guys here when we come out on Friday with it. But, I don't think they'll be threatened to lose, but I can see some bumps along the way, and I think Jahmyr Gibbs will provide a couple of those bumps.
Since we didn't talk much about Tech, why don't we all answer this one? So do you think the bumps along the way will be because Notre Dame doesn't get to that past 31 range or because Georgia Tech scores more points than we're giving them credit for?
I think it's the offense, right? Georgia Tech's offense, yeah. I think Notre Dame's
offense, not getting there.
I can
see inefficiencies still happening. That's basically it.
Could Notre Dame score in the 40s this game? Of course, but I don't necessarily see that. And thus, I'm in that ballpark. I'm in that ballpark with you guys as well. Hey, we appreciate everybody joining us here for Irish Illustrated Insider. Pre-game from Notre Dame Stadium on Saturday, Priester O'Malley did an instant analysis. Until then, thanks for joining us. This has been Irish Illustrated Insider.
Thank you for listening to the Irish Illustrated Insider podcast. If you enjoy our coverage of Notre Dame football, please consider supporting the podcast with a small donation. Go to irishillustrated.com/support. Your support will help Irish Illustrated continue to be the leader in coverage of Notre Dame athletics.